You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, This is a continuation, and the title of this message is Freemasonry, The Religion of Fools, Part 2. I wanted to start out here with tidying up a few things. I wanted to mention that I called it the Palladian Rite instead of the Palladian Rite, because there was a knight of Arthur's Round Table whose name was Paladin. There was a show in America on American TV in the 50s called Have Gun, Will Travel. The main character was played by a Jew named Richard Boone. Now, he was a dualistic, he played a dualistic character. And he had a knight from the game of chess on his gun holster. Now, that represents Freemasonry when you see the word knights. So, in one part of his life, he was a rich gentleman of San Francisco society, very well educated, not a man of the Bible, a hedonistic sinner, I would say. In his other life, he dressed all in black, and he played the Black Knight, the champion of the underdog. He used to work for people, usually around 1,000 per job, and this allowed him to live his life in gentry there, as a rich gentleman of San Francisco. So it was hard living on one end and soft living on the other, which is dualistic. One of the quotes from his show that I liked, that struck me, is this: you can't enforce a law that goes against the will of the majority. For those who try, there's a name. They're called tyrants. Let me read it again. You can't enforce a law that goes against the will of the majority. For those who try, there's a name. They're called tyrants. Now that sounds very democratic, does it not? And it sounds good when you hear it. Now, I've heard a couple of times on the shows of today on EFR that the Christians don't believe that the law is in force anymore, that Yahweh's law is in force, that it passed away when Yeshua died on the cross. Let me put it to you this way, the same saying: you can't enforce Yahweh's law that goes against the will of the Judeo-Christian majority. For those who try, there's a name. They're called tyrants. You see, you can't enforce Yahweh's law. He can't enforce it either, because it goes against the will of the majority of Judeo-Christianry, Christianity. And if you do, for those who try, there's a name. Tyrant. So Yahweh would be a tyrant because he's going against the majority and enforcing his law still. Just thought you might like that. Another thing I would like to, a couple of things I'd like to just clear up. I'd like to mention that Weishaupt was sent from Rothschild to create an invisible society within the Society of Freemasonry. And why is that, you ask? Well, like I told you last week, when Pike sent the letter to Mazzini, it put the heat on the Shabazz Goy race trader rather than on who is the one that finances the wars, etc. So in these societies in Freemasonry, the visible Shabazz Goy race trader, white seed of Jacob, seed of, the true Israelite, who has joined this lodge and become the tool of the Jew, the visible Shabazz Goy, to take the heat, and the invisible Jew is steering the ship in the background. See? You like that? It shows you how the Jew is covering his tracks. Now, one more thing. The cube, the box, or the box, the cube, and the monolith. I have a little addition here. I came across it when I was looking at the 47th problem of Euclid, which is a Freemasonic problem. It's called the Freemason's Magic Square, and it's called the Magic Square of Saturn. I thought you might like that. The Magic Square of Saturn. The cube? Okay. Now, this is very interesting as we continue on here with this message. You see, Hitler, we're going to discover World War II here. What happened when Hitler rose to power? What did he do? On Hitler's rise to power, the 10 Grand Lodges of Germany were dissolved. Many among the prominent dignitaries and members of the order were sent to concentration camps. See, Hitler knew. He knew who was poisoning his country. He knew that the Jew was destroying his country. And he knew that the Jew used Freemasonry as a tool against the German people. Hitler's not a fool. He knew what was going on. The Gestapo seized the membership lists of the Grand Lodges and looted their libraries and collections of Masonic objects. Much of his loot was then exhibited in Anti-Masonic Exposition, inaugurated in 1937 by Herr Dr. Joseph Goebbels in Munich. The exposition included completely furnished Masonic temples so that people could see what these people were up to, so that they could see the Jewish iconography of the lodge and know what was going on. As a lesson, the persecution was carried over to Austria when the country was captured by the Nazis. The masters of the various Vienna lodges were immediately confined in the most notorious concentration camps, including the horrible living hell at Dachau in Bavaria. The same procedure was repeated when Hitler took over Czechoslovakia, then Poland. Immediately after conquering Holland and Belgium, the Nazis ordered the dissolution of the lodges in those nations. It was also point one on the agenda of Major Quisling in Norway. You know what a Quisling is, though? A Quisling is a traitor. And that's exactly what these people in these lodges are. They're Shabbos Goy traitors. Traitors to Yahweh. Traitors to their own race. Traitors to their family. And traitors to their nation. These people are tools used by the Jew. And I told you that I want to mention something here. Hitler, the Germans, knew the names of all the lodge members in England. And if they had won the war, they would have gone over and arrested those people from those lodges. And England would not be in the condition that she is presently in. You see, I told you that the German soldier died for your freedom and for my freedom. And instead of us blessing our brother, we destroyed them, our brothers in Germany. And you see, you're living in a hell in England right now, a Jewish-controlled hell. And it's of your own making. The German soldiers would have freed you from this. I want to mention about, I was speaking with some people about the bees. You always see this in Freemasonry's signs, many signs that they have. They always have a beehive with bees. And I'll tell you what my personal view of this is I believe that the queen bee, of course, would be Lucifer or Halel. Why do I say the queen bee? Because it would be Baphomet. See, Baphomet is androgynous, as the devil is. Remember the goat. It's a male goat with female breasts. Okay? And then the second layer would be the Jews. And then to get through to those two, you'd have to go through all the other hierarchies of the bees, which means you'll probably never get there before being stung to death. So, this is what's happening in England. As I told you that Patrick Cullinane called the police, and he said he wanted to arrest the people that are trying to get tax money from him, because there was no trial, no nothing. They just wanted the money from him. Taxation without representation. And the officer told him that she would bring it no further than that. And as I told you, above sergeant, if not the sergeant included, you have to be a Freemason in order to be on the police force. Okay? Huh? How do you like that? So the Jew has himself protected in this little cocoon and can't be gotten to. Who's going to arrest him? How will you get to him? And just think, people of London, people of the UK, and I love you people, but you doomed yourself. You doomed yourselves. The German would have freed you from all this. and you would have been a lot better off today. But instead, you mercilessly bombed Dresden and killed millions of German soldiers, millions of innocent people that were trying to help you. So as they went around and went into these different countries, they got rid of Freemasonry, and of course that's a wise thing to do. You can see that Hitler was smart, that he knew what was going on. So it goes on and it says, it may be taken as a part of the same ugly picture that General Franco of Spain in 1940 sentenced all Freemasons in his realm automatically to 10 years in prison. When France fell last June, the Vichy government caused the two Masonic bodies of France, the Grand Orient and the Grand Lodge, to be dissolved, their property being seized and sold at auction. You know, by him putting those people in prison for 10 years, he bought his country quite a bit of time. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that not only is the Jew, not only is the liberal, not only is the Judeo-Christian, but the Freemasons as well, are the enemies of Yahweh and the enemies of the seed of Jacob. And if we got them out of our countries, you know what happened with Hitler? When he got them out of those people, when he got rid of the Jews and he got rid of the Freemasons out of his country, they went from being the lowest country, economic country in Europe. Within 4 years, they were the top. What is that telling you? What does that tell you? Are you connecting these dots, ladies and gentlemen? I certainly hope you are. Hitler's hatred of Freemasonry is clearly documented. In 1931, Nazi party officials were given a guide and instructional letter that stated the natural hostility of the peasant against the Jews and his hostility against the Freemason as a servant of the Jew must be worked up into a frenzy. Let's get that again now. Think of what he's saying there. And his hostility against the Freemason as a servant of the Jew. The Freemason is the servant of the Jew, is what Hitler's saying here. You know what that means? Chavez Goy, white race traitor? That means you're the servant of the devil and his children. Willingly. You asked for more light. You're going to get it. Only it's false light. It's not the light of Yahweh. And I'm going to tell you something right now. These people are the enemy of Yahweh. And I'm going to go over that and over that and over that again. Freemasonry has declared Yahweh to be their enemy. We know that that also includes the Jew. Because the Jew does not do what Yahweh wants him to do. They're supposedly God's chosen people, but they don't follow anything that Yahweh wants to do. They do exactly the opposite. The only things they do just to fool the Shabbos Goy and the world is they pretend to do a few feasts, and they have a pretend Hebrew language, which is Yiddish, which is not the Hebrew language. It's a hybrid language. See what that means? All these people are the enemies, the Judeo-Christian, the liberal, the Freemason, and the Jew. And the Marxist, communists, they are the enemies of the world. You abolish these people, you abolish the enemies of Yahweh, and you abolish, you will have peace, and your nations will be able to heal immediately, just as it did in the 30s with Hitler. So, on April 7th, 1933, Hermann Göring, who once considered becoming a Freemason, held an interview with Grandmaster von Heringen of the Land Grand Lodge of Germany, telling him that there was no place for Freemasonry in Nazi Germany. The Nazi Primer, the official handbook for the schooling of the Hitler Youth, attacked Freemasons, Marxists, and Christian churches for their mistaken teaching of the equality of all men, by which they were said to be seeking power over the whole world. See, he wasn't attacking the Christian churches, but he was attacking the Jewish version of Christianity. See these enemies? Now, Hitler, in his own words, to strengthen his political position, he, the Jew, tries to tear down the racial and civil barriers which, for a time, continue to restrain him at every step. To this end, he fights with all the tenacity innate in him for religious tolerance. Tolerance. You see, there's your word tolerance again. That's a Marxist word. See, we need to be tolerant of the Negro when he destroys our cities and when he kills our people. We need to be tolerant. We need to be tolerant of homosexuality. We need to be tolerant of pedophilia. But there'll be no tolerance for the white man if he should say the N-word, which means black, like Hulk Hogan did. Then he would lose his job. There'll be no tolerance for the white man. But the white man needs to be tolerant of everyone else, you see? That's how it's supposed to work. So, to this end, he fights with all the tenacity innate in him, this is the Jew, for religious tolerance. And in Freemasonry, which has succumbed to him completely, see, to the Jew, he has an excellent instrument in with which to fight for his aims and put them across. See, Freemasonry has succumbed to the Jew completely, and it is an excellent instrument with which to fight for his aims, like fraternity, equality, we're all equal, brotherhood. You know, in the 60s, they started this nonsense where the blacks started calling us brother. But the blacks are no brothers of ours. They're not part of our race at all. And they certainly don't act like our brothers, do they? They're killing us every day around the world. That's not the kind of brother I will call brother. They're no brothers of mine or my race. The governing circles and the higher strata of the political and economic bourgeoisie are brought into its nets and strings of Freemasonry, by the strings of Freemasonry, and never need to suspect what is happening. Now, that's interesting. I want to read that again. You know, when Hulk said that, the N-word, I have no problem with that at all.
Ooh, yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage. It's just a shame I didn't get to say it too, brother.
Anyway, just a little joking around with you there. So, the governing circles and the higher strata of the political and economic bourgeoisie are brought into his nets, the Jews' nets, by the strings of Freemasonry, and never need to suspect what is happening. You see, there's a movie that I remastered, and I cleaned it all up. It was made in the 30s or 40s by a Frenchman, exposing Freemasonry. It's called Forces Occultes. And this is a very interesting movie, and I suggest you see it because it shows you all the iconery in the lodge, and it shows you that it's all Jewish iconery. And it shows you the Jews in the lodge. You can see it for yourself. What it was in the beginning of this movie, you saw a spider come down. And that's what it's talking about here. The governing circles and higher strata of the political and economic bourgeoisie are brought into his nets, the Jews' nets, by the strings of Freemasonry. So this upstanding citizen wanted to become a politician and help his country. And it shows the left and the right arguing with each other in the so-called, whatever it is, the Congress or whatever they call it there. And this man gave a great speech. And he got them both the right and the left worked up. The Freemasons in the audience saw this and decided to recruit him into Freemasonry. Pretty soon, they had him so wrapped up in it, because you have to help your brothers. If they are in court and need you to come in and lie to the court for them, the ends justify the means. That's always a Jewish principle or precept. So it's also a principle of the lodge. If you're an officer and you pull over one of your brothers, well, you're going to let him go, of course. If you're a politician and we need you to penalize somebody else so we can steal their business, your brother needs help, you must help him. And that's exactly what was going on in this movie. And this man saw how he got caught up in it, and he didn't like it. And he saw that they were causing riots in the streets like we have in America today. And people were getting, you know, killed and things like that. And they were helping to bring war and revolution, as they always do. So Hitler knows what he's talking about here. You can certainly see that Hitler's a very intelligent man. And that he knows in his day what's happening. He can see what's happening. Has nothing to do with being a racist or anything of the like. He just happens to be awake. He knew that they had a parasite in their country. He knew who the parasite was. He threw the parasite off the country. And the parasite has a saying about that. It says, they say, never again. Because they've been thrown out of all the countries of Europe several times for the same reasons over and over again. So Hitler goes on, only the deeper and broader strata of the people as such, or rather the class which is beginning to wake up and fight for its rights and freedom, cannot yet be sufficiently taken in by these methods. But this is more necessary than anything else, for the Jew feels that the possibility of this rising to a dominant role exists only if there is someone ahead of him to clear the way. And this someone, he thinks, can recognize in the bourgeoisie in their broadest strata, in fact, the glove makers and linen weavers, however, cannot be caught in the fine net of Freemasonry. No, for them coarser, but no less drastic means must be employed. Thus Freemasonry is joined by a second weapon in the service of the Jews, the press. Ah, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. What year was this happening, by the way? Oh, my, my, this was happening in the 30s. And yet today they still have control of Freemasonry, and they still have 96% of the press controlled, and they're trying to control every last bit of the rest of it. Listen what he called Freemasonry. It's a weapon in the service of the Jews. Hello, Shabbos Goy, white race traitor, seed of Jacob, true Israelite, against Yahweh, against your own country, against your own family, against your own race. Yes, that's you. And you're going to pay. So he says, thus Freemasonry is joined by a second weapon in the service of the Jews, the press. With all his perseverance and dexterity, he seizes possession of it, the Jews. With it, he slowly begins to grip and ensnare, to guide and to push all public life, since he is in a position to create and direct that power, which under the name of public opinion is better known today than a few decades ago. Now, this is still happening today. Still happening today. While the international Jew slowly but surely strangles us, our so-called patriots shouted against a man and a system which dared, in one corner of the earth at least, to free themselves from the Jewish Masonic embrace and oppose a nationalistic resistance to this international world poisoning. Heavy. You see, the whole world turned against them for the Jew and for their father, Hallel. They turned against their own brothers. They turned against their own race. They turned against the very people that were trying to help them be free of this parasite that has control over much of the seed of Jacob's lands. And Germany, of course, is Judah, part of Judah. So, I want to say this again. While the international world Jew slowly but surely strangles us, our so-called patriots shouted against a man and a system which dared in one corner of the earth at least to free themselves from the Jewish Masonic embrace and oppose a nationalistic resistance to this international world poisoning. The general pacifistic paralysis of the national instinct of self-preservation begun by Freemasonry in the circles of the so-called intelligentsia is transmitted to the broad masses and above all to the bourgeoisie by the activity of the big papers, which today are always Jewish. See? And they are today, as I just said. The general pacifistic paralysis of the national instinct of self-preservation begun by Freemasonry in the circles of the so-called intelligentsia is transmitted to the broad masses and above all to the bourgeoisie by the activity of the big papers, which today are always Jewish. The bourgeoisie are the somewhat of the upper crust. The prohibition of Masonic secret societies, the persecution of the supranational press, as well as the continuous demolition of international Marxism, and, conversely, the steady reinforcement of the fascist state conception, will in the course of the years cause the Italian government to serve the interests of the Italian people more and more, without regard for the hissing of the Jewish world hydra. Absolutely beautiful right there. Absolutely beautiful word. Couldn't put it better myself. Absolutely amazing. Okay, let's go on to some quotes here. This is Walter Crick, British manufacturer, quoted in the Northampton Daily Echo, a belief and sentiment shared by George Bernard Shaw, who was quoted in London Morning Post as saying on the subject of the Jews. This is the real enemy, the invader from the East, the Druze, the ruffian, the Oriental parasite. In a word, the Jew. Let me read it again, because I just told you this. This is the real enemy, the invader from the East, the Druze, the ruffian, the Oriental parasite. In a word, the Jew. Oriental parasite, see? Now, if the Jew is the enemy, then the Jew controls the papers, the Jew controls the Judeo-Christian church, the Jew controls Freemasonry, the Jew controls the government. So these are all enemies of the people of the world. It's just that simple. How much more simple could it get? I mean, it's incredible. Another quote, Jews can destroy by means of finance. Jews are international. Yes, they're international. Why are they international? Because they've lived in every nation in the world. They've been kicked out of most of the nations of the world. You see, that's why they're international. They have an advantage because of that. Jews can destroy by means of finance. Jews are international. Control of credits in this country is not in the hands of the English, but of the Jews. It has become the biggest danger to the British Empire that the British Empire ever had to face. I'd say that's true. Let's move on to some Manly P. Hall, a quote from Manly P. Hall. European mysticism was not dead at the time of the United States of America was founded. The hand of the mysteries controlled in the establishment of the new government, for the signature of the mysteries may still be seen on the Great Seal of the United States of America. Careful analysis of the seal discloses a mass of occult and Masonic symbols, chief among them the so-called American Eagle. The American Eagle upon the Great Seal is but a conventionalized phoenix. Not only were there many of the founders of the United States government Masons, but they received aid from a secret and august body existing of Europe, existing in Europe, which helped them to establish this country for a peculiar and particular purpose known only to the initiated few. Now, when you say phoenix, what this means is the phoenix dies and there's ashes there. And from the ashes rises a new phoenix in light. And this is from the ashes of the old world will rise the new. Or so they think. So keep that in mind. Masonry is the universal religion only because, and only so long as it embraces all religions, and it certainly does, as you well know. And there again, though, if anybody tells you Masonry is not a religion, well, it says it over and over and over again that it is a religion. Napoleon Bonaparte, traitor, white race traitor, destroyed the French people. Somebody said took 6 inches off the French men. Let the Jews out of the ghettos. Took the Pope. He was a beast. He took the, and didn't let the Pope crown him, which that I don't care about at all anyway. Here's what he says. When a government is dependent for money upon the bankers, they and not the leaders of the government control the situation. Since the hand that gives is above the hand that takes, financiers are without patriotism and without decency. Yet he let them out of the ghettos. Okay? Connecting the dots, ladies and gentlemen, are you connecting the dots? I certainly hope so. The daring ambition of governing the whole world, this was Weishaupt's end. And his means were secret societies. But remember, I told you he was sent forth by Rothschild. So his means were secret societies or corrupting public opinion by means of the press. Now, this is much earlier than Hitler, ladies and gentlemen. This is much earlier than Hitler. This is the 1700s he started. 1776 he started trying to make that society, the secret society within a society, one invisible and the other visible. So how was it done? By the two enemies that Hitler just talked about. This was Weishaupt's end, and his means were secret societies or corrupting public opinion by means of the press and secret societies. All magistracy was to be abolished, that an absolute despotic tyranny might be exercised over the whole earth. And there seems to exist in America a spirit similar to that, which in Europe operated such fatal effects on religion, government, and society. So it works by the same means, by secret societies, by the press, by occupying publications and places of instruction, teaching people, teaching your children, etc., teaching the college student to be a good Marxist, to be an internationalist like the Jew is. That there are secret societies and regular subordination which direct the movement of vast bodies of people, no man who looks at the result of elections will doubt. That the press is used to promote the views of such societies will not be doubted by any who see the unprincipled similarity of publications. At the same time, from New Hampshire to Georgia, it is evident that every exertion is made to fill public stations and places of instruction with the men who will promote this spirit and bring it into action. And the corruption of the minds of the rising generation is in prospect. That was said by Alexander Addison, 1807, president of the courts at the December sessions, 1800, of the county courts of the Fifth Circuit in Pennsylvania. And he warned the grand juries of the pernicious nature of the Illuminati and its singular goal, one world government under its sway. So this is 1800, way before Hitler. So You think about that for a little bit. Okay, so what I'm saying, what does Freemasonry do? They corral in all the best minds from the schools, all the ones, all the seed of Israel, of Jacob, the seed of Jacob, Israel, the white Shabbos Goy race traders, and they bring them in, all the best minds, and they recruit them into their ideologies, into the lodges to do dirty work. You see? Therefore, what they're doing is they're taking anybody that could be a possibility of being competition to them, and they're eliminating them by bringing them into these societies, by retraining their minds to be an international Marxist, etc., etc. In the same way, nothing has changed. It's still happening today. Okay, we'll move along here. The Haute Vent wishes that, under one pretext or another, as many princes and rich men as possible be introduced into the Masonic lodges. Yes, you heard that right. Princes of royal blood. See, I was continuing on with what I was just saying. This is going to embellish. This is going to put a little cherry on the top here. Little whipped cream and cherry on top. The Haute Vent wishes that under one pretext or another, as many princes and rich men as possible be introduced into the Masonic lodges. Princes of royal blood flatter their ambitions for popularity, prepare them for Freemasonry. The Haute Vent will then be able to do what it can to be useful in the cause of progress. In the meantime, they will serve as an attraction to imbeciles, intriguers, crooks, and loafers. These poor princes will serve our cause while thinking that they are working for theirs. This is a magnificent deception, and there are always plenty of fools willing to compromise themselves in the service of a conspiracy in which every prince thinks himself to be a benefactor. See, they think they're going to get something out of this. They flatter them. You see what it said there? I'm going to read this whole thing again because it's very important for you to understand what it's saying. See, Shabbos Goy, here's what's going on with you. You've tried to elevate yourself by joining Freemasonry. They told you you'd be a cut above all other us common men. And they flatter you. And they help you to be popular. And what has happened to you is this. Yeshua said himself, Jesus, he said, he that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. You, by trying to exalt yourself, shall never exalt in the joy of this pretense. You have brought yourself lower than the Jew in your attempt to bring yourself higher, to exalt yourself. You have brought yourself lower than you would have ever been before. You're lower than the Jew. You're a race traitor. You're a traitor to your country. You're a traitor to Yahweh. You're a traitor to your family. You're even really a traitor to yourself, and you don't even know it. For what? I'm going to read it again here. The Haute Vent wishes that under one pretext or another, now all of, I want to mention that all of the British royalty, so to speak, the Duke of York, and all these pretentious useful idiots think that they've done something for themselves and that they will benefit from this. But what they've done is made themselves a servant of the Jew and Halel, Lucifer. They've made themselves the enemy of Yahweh. These people are supposed to be smarter than this. So the Haute Vent wishes that under one pretext or another, as many princes and rich men as possible be introduced into the Masonic lodges. Princes of royal blood flatter their ambitions for popularity, prepare them for Freemasonry. The Haute Vent will then be able to do what it can to be useful in the cause of progress. In the meantime, they will serve as an attraction to imbeciles, intriguers, crooks, and loafers. Imbeciles, useful idiots, you see? What you are, Shabazz Gore, you're a useful idiot. What these people that are bringing all these immigrants into their country so that they can rape the women and do nothing about it. These people are imbeciles. What they are is useful idiots, imbeciles, traitors, and on and on and on it goes. Intriguers, salesmen, evil salesmen, though. You know what I mean? Intriguing. They're conning you into something. Crooks and loafers. See, because they have use for all these people, you understand? They have use not only for the princes of the royal bloodline, but they also have use for crooks and loafers and imbeciles. You know, Marxists like Obama. You know, leftists, liberals, nihilists. These poor princes will serve our cause while thinking that they are working for theirs. This is a magnificent deception, and there shall always be plenty of fools. What's the title of this message? What's the title, folks? Freemasonry, the Religion of Fools. There will always be plenty of fools willing to compromise themselves in the service of a conspiracy in which every prince thinks himself to be a benefactor. Pretty heavy quote. That was Piccolo Tigre, Freemason, a letter dated 18th January 1822 concerning the targets and recruiting methods of the Haute Vent Romaine, a revolutionary secret society connected with Freemasonry. Now, I would liken these princes today of people like William Clinton. You see? So, let me explain to you one thing about Freemasonry. Is that it came from Babylon. In the same way as the Jewish Talmud came from Babylon. And the Catholic Church is Babylonian. It's a Babylonian religion. And the Jew, when he wants to be a crypto-Jew, always gravitates. When he wants to change his name and hide his identity, he hides under the Catholic Church and changes his name. With the exception of Harry Reid. He's a Jew, and he pretends he's a Mormon. And the Mormons do the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry. Still Mother Babylon. You see? So Freemasonry was brought forth by Nimrod and Semiramis, or Semiramis, which however you want to pronounce it. Tomato, tomato. So, let's go a little. I'm going to skip the pièce de résistance that I was going to tell you this week, and we'll save it for next week because we're certainly going to go into at least a third message on Freemasonry. So, Freemasonry has been a vital part in all revolutions and wars. Is that true? Oh, yes, it is. See, when I was saying that it came from Babylon, notice that Mystery Babylon is all tied together. You have the Jews who wrote the Talmud in Babylon. You have Freemasonry. The World Order with Nimrod, who was a Mason, and his wife Semiramis. The Mystery Religions brought back. Then you have the Catholic Church. These all work together. They're all tentacles of the Jewish Hydra. I think I'll use that word Hitler came out with. I think it's beautiful. I think it really hits right on the money. And the beast system being the banking system. So, I mean, and you can go on and on and on. I will expose the tentacles of the Hydra, or the tentacles of the beast, as time goes by. But I've already hit on some of them here, and I think you're getting an idea how it all connects. So, yes, Freemasonry has been a vital part in all revolutions and wars. We see Freemasonry involved in the French Revolution. That's who did it. We see Freemasonry in the American Revolution, do we not? Of course we do. How about the Russian Revolution? Oh, yes, we do. The Russian Revolution was carried out by Jewish Freemasons. They killed the Tsar and his family. The World Wars are no different. Let's look at World War II. Uncle Joe, the communist, he was a Freemason. Just like Napoleon Bonaparte was, too. You see him like Karl Marx was, too. You see them all tucking their hands in, like General Sherman, all these traitors that are supposedly heroes. Then you had FDR. He was, of course, a Mason as well. Roosevelt. And how about good old Winston? Winston Churchill. Oh, yes, he was a Freemason. And his mother's a Jew, Jenny Jerome. So, yes, Freemasonry has been a vital part in all the revolutions and wars, and it still is today. Let me talk about the hammer and the sickle in a little while here. I'm going to reveal to you something that's very interesting. Okay, Tubal Cain, which is the password for the third degree, I believe it is. And what it means is the offspring of Cain. Tubal Cain was Lamech's son in the Bible, and he was from the seed line of Cain. Tubal Cain is a central figure in Freemasonry. Now, when you see John Dee, or you see 007, that's two balls and a cane. Tubal Cain. 007. See? Yes, the British Secret Service agent, 007. James Bond. What's your name? James. James Bond. Okay. The Hegelian dialectic was used with Freemasonry as the thesis and Catholicism as the antithesis. And, of course, they are synthesized today. Yes, that's true, folks. Because they used to fight one another and pretend they were enemies of one another. And in the process, now we see today that the Catholic bishops and the Catholic hierarchy, many of them are Freemasons. But it was outlawed by a pope at one time. See? It was the enemy, declared the enemy of the... Now here's two tentacles of Babylon pretending they're enemies. Do you dig what I'm saying? Think about what I'm telling you. It's just for show. Like John Lennon said. He said, show business is just an extension of the Jewish religion. And I have to say, that's definitely true. No doubt about it. This all show business. This government you see here in America, this Donald Trump and all this nonsense. I don't trust that guy. I mean, he's saying some things I like to hear. I like how he handles the press, and people could learn something from that. However, he's got the stink of Jew on him, whether he's a Shabbos Goy race traitor or not. It says that they would keep a few Goy millionaires around in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And I have to say that I know that he has been friends with Hillary and Bill Clinton. And anybody that could be a friend of Hillary and Bill Clinton has to be a total scumbag, has to be a bottom-of-the-barrel sellout piece of garbage. But you know what? It just doesn't seem to matter who gets in. We've got problems because there is nobody. It's either a Clinton, a Bush, or a Goy millionaire. Any way you look at it, the Jew wins. Now, I'd like to be wrong about Donald Trump. I'd like to think that maybe he came to his senses. But I highly doubt it. But I'd like to admit I was wrong. A lot of the heroes that you've heard about throughout history, like Einstein, is a fraud. He's not an intelligent man creating anything. He stole that information. Most of the people that you think, General Sherman, piece of garbage, an absolute piece of garbage, Shabbos Goy, race traitor, who will rot in hell the same way as Eisenhower or any of the rest of them will. All the heroes, FDR, Winston Churchill, these aren't heroes, these are zeros. This is the winner of the wars who orchestrated the wars telling you who the heroes are. But I tell you, the hero would be Hitler. I think you're going to find out when we see Yahweh that he's going to tell you who the true people were, who was really trying to free us, who was really trying to help us. Many of the people that were traitors, so to speak, are probably the heroes. How do you like that for irony? This is what happens when you have a parasite who can write down history and dictate it any way they wish. Then their people become the heroes. Ronald Reagan's not a hero. I hear these people say, Ronald Reagan. You know, I thought Ronald Reagan was a good president. You see, this is back before I knew anything. I actually thought Bill Clinton was doing a good job with foreign policy. Boy, was I stupid. And that's all I have to say about that. I mean, what more can you say? But I didn't know any better. You understand? I didn't know about the game then. All I was watching was the smiling going on. You know what I mean? But Ronald Reagan, not only was he a Democrat before he was a Republican, I wonder if he was the first neocon. He's close, probably not the first, but definitely, you know what his nickname is? Red Ronnie. There was a guy named Myron Fagan in the, I believe it was the 70s, and he put out a record, a three-record piece called The Illuminati. He's another Jew who became a Catholic, so I don't really trust him, but he did do some heavy work, I'll have to say. And if you've ever heard of Red Stars Over Hollywood, I suggest you listen to that. He got a lot of the people in Hollywood and exposed them because he was in the movie industry. And he exposed people, you know, Edward G. Robinson, Humphrey Bogart. I mean, tons of them. And he exposed them for being communists. And they couldn't even sue him because he was telling the truth. This was at a time when the courts could still serve a little bit of justice, which they can't do today. You tell the truth in a court today, and that gets you put in jail. If you lie in a court today, you will be promoted. But he got a lot of these people thrown out of Hollywood. Got them arrested and stuff, too. So they ended up where they could only work on radio. So you heard people like Edward G. Robinson and different people come back onto the radio. Now you can tell he's a Jew, can't you? So what Ronald Reagan did was he did a tour of the world, I mean a tour of the United States, trying to rectify these people and get them back into Hollywood. I'm telling you the truth. His name was Red Ronnie. That's what he was. He was a communist. That's why it's a game they played with you. See, when they brought communism down, they brought it down because the people of the world knew about communism, and they knew that it was the enemy, and they wanted nothing to do with it, and they knew the Jew was involved in communism, you see. And communism was Judaism, as Rabbi Wise has told you. So they needed a new boogeyman. Somebody who was faceless, a faceless enemy who could not be identified. And therefore, the war on terrorism was born. From the death of communism arose the war on terrorism. The war on terrorism enabled it to be anybody can be a terrorist. You, me, anybody. If you believe in the Bible, if you believe in your country and you don't want anything to do with the UN, well, then you can be labeled as a terrorist. That's all the Jew ever does is label people with their so-called labels that really mean nothing and are useless labels, but the public falls for it. You see, the N-word, as far as I'm concerned, I think everybody in America should go out for the next 6 weeks and only say the N-word all day long. What are they going to do, fire all of us? Then who's going to do the work? You see, you just say the word until it doesn't mean anything anymore. Because it doesn't mean anything but black. I explained this to some black people and they understood me. I said to them, if I call you black, you have no problem with that. But I said, if I call you a Negro, you're a little perturbed. But what does Negro mean? And they looked at me. And I said, it means black in Spanish. Haven't you ever heard of black beans, frijoles negro? And I said, then what does the N-word mean? Because I didn't want to say it to him, you know what I mean? I wanted to be kind about it. I said, it means black. from the country Niger. The Jew always changes the words so that you don't even know how words are spelled anymore, because that's the way they work it. That's part of the dumbing down process. You'll notice, you know what I mean? So they added a G, so it was nigger instead of Niger. That's all. And it only means black, in the same way as black means black, in the same way as negro. Negro means black. So I suppose we ought to find out how you say black in Russian and start calling the Negroes black in Russian. And there'll be no problem, because the Jew, and I told them this and they agreed with me. I said, see, somebody's been playing with your mind. Somebody told you that if you heard the N-word, that you were to flip out and it would trigger off something. That's called programming, ladies and gentlemen. And the Negro, or Niger, or black, they're susceptible to it. They're susceptible to emotions, and they're easily programmed by the Jew. Not that a lot of other people aren't either, but they're easily programmed. So they taught them, when they heard the N-word, that they were to get angry and flip out. But yet they use the N-word all day and all night. You see the programming? These people understood it. These blacks understood what I was saying. I said, somebody's playing with your mind. And the girl said to me, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. However, getting that message to all the blacks, they'll come out with something like saying, yeah, but the N-word is, it's derogatory. I don't want to hear that. It means black. That's it. It's wordplay. It means black. That's all it means. Okay, let's move along here. So, remember that all of these are Babylon. So, when we see Jewry and Zionism, it's another Hegelian dialectic. And as they pretend to fight one another, there is also a natural synthesis of the two. See, Zionism and Jewry are supposedly two forces that are against one another. They'll have some Orthodox rabbis go into Zionism and start to go against the regular Jewry, and they'll say, oh, we don't believe in the settlements over there, and this nonsense, like Michael Wiener. You know, the talk show host there. I forget his name because I don't listen to idiots like him. But he says, oh, I'm against those Palestinian settlements there. I really am. But that Holocaust, I tell you, let me talk about that Holocaust all day long. Listen, you're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling me anyway. So basically, it's a game. It's show business. You know, it's like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage. Before a match, they talk at each other. Oh, yeah. Hulk Hogan, I'm going to kill you. Oh, yeah. Wait till I get up in the ring. Ooh, Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah. And then Hulk Hogan says, brother, Macho Man, I'm going to be coming out for you today, brother. And all the little Hulkamaniacs out there, man, they're going to be supporting me, bringing me back to the top. Brother, I'm going to take you and I'm going to slam you on the mat. And you're going to know what Hulkamania comes down on you, brother. And you see, then after the match, they're out drinking together. Do you understand? It's just show biz. And that's all it is with Zionism and Jewry. That's all it is with the Democrats and the Republicans. That's all it is with Freemasonry against Freemasonry. You see, because there's Freemasonry has different sects. There's Mizraim, Memphis Mizraim, which goes to the 90th degree over in France. Then there's Mizraim. Then there's the York Rite, which is in a lot of Europe, which doesn't have as many degrees. It's French Freemasonry. And then you have the Scottish Rite Freemasonry over in America. And these, they compete with one another as like soldiers would compete to make their leader proud of them. It's show business, ladies and gentlemen. There's no business like show business, like no business I know. You see? That's all it is. It's a game. Like, remember in Iraq? Remember when they went over there and they put up all these buildings? And this was Halliburton, I believe. They were sucking money out of the black budget, you know what I mean? And they put up all these buildings. But when people went over there, they found out there's no electricity in these buildings. There's no plumbing in these buildings. You see, they just put up outer structures. The one visible and the other invisible. You dig what I'm saying? Think about what I'm telling you. The government is the same thing as that. Oh, yes, it has the office of this and the office of bullcrappery and homeland liary and all kinds of nonsense. But it's not even real. It's not a real structure. Can it reach out and touch you with a letter? It could, yes. But it's not real. Because there's the visible government, and then there's the invisible government, which you know who that is. It's international Jewry. It's the central bank. My country has been under bankruptcy for many, many years. The first time I know about it, I think, was after the Civil War for a while, and I don't know what they took then. But I know that during the time of FDR, they took the gold from the people. They wanted all the gold that the people had. Who might want that gold, do you think? That who might have wanted? They already probably had all the gold that was in Fort Knox and everything else. Who would want that gold? Every last drop of it. So that was part of the bankruptcy in 1933. I think it was March 9th, 1933, if I'm correct. So the people had to give up some gold. The next time that I know about was Jimmy Carter. I'm not sure the exact year. Could have been 76. I really don't know. But you could find out about it. And what he did was, you see, when there's a bankruptcy, you have to divvy up something, whether it be resources. He gave them our birth certificates, which they trade on the stock market. See, your work life is worth a certain amount of money. It's worth a certain amount of value. Okay? So that's how these Jews operate, is they come into a country and they say, okay, you're all war-torn now. We already made all kinds of money off you on both sides of the war here, all sides. Now, you need some help rebuilding. I know you need some money. So what we're going to do is we're going to lend you some money. Isn't that nice of us? Then when you can't pay the money back because the Jew sets it up so that there's no way you'd be able to pay it back through interest that has no money created to pay back the interest, you see, then they say, hey, don't worry about that. I'll tell you what. Give us your oil rights and we'll give you another loan. Don't worry about it. Pretty soon you can't pay that. Don't worry about it. We're good friends here. We've been doing business for years. Give us your mineral rights. and your national parks. And we'll give you some more money. You get the idea, okay? And that's how it's done around the world. Rothschild owns at least two-thirds of the world's wealth. What you would do with all that, I have no idea. I suppose I'd pay it to my Shabazz Goy race trader brothers so that they could try to have all of us killed while they think they're going to be in power with the Jew. I'm telling you, in your quest to be a wise man and to elevate yourself, Shabazz Goy, you have become a pawn, a low life, the lowest low life that there is, and you have made a complete fool out of yourself. And you will be done in by your master. I told you, you never make a deal with the devil. If you ever make a deal with the devil, it may look good and sound good to you in the beginning, but I promise you that it will always work out where you're on the losing end. And that goes for his children as well. When you make some deals with the Jews and you figure you're going to rule with them, so what if they kill millions of your race, right? So what? Even if they kill your family, right? Your family's a bunch of idiots too, because they're not Freemasons like you are. They're not flattered like you are. They're not intellectual like you are. So who cares if millions of your own race gets killed? Who cares if two-thirds of your race have already been wiped off the planet by your master? Who cares, right? As long as you got your little pat on the back, as long as you got your next degree, as long as you got your second and third home in Costa Rica or wherever you want to live, that's so much more important than your own race and your own family, and much more important than Yahweh, the ever-living God. I mean, he's your enemy, right? You made him your enemy. You've declared him your enemy. You've joined the devil and his children. Just like the black race right now has, they're defining. See, this is a test for the black people. The black people are failing the test. They could have received Yahweh's mercy, but they're not going to receive Yahweh's mercy. Because it's very evident that they've chosen who they are going to follow. They're going to follow the same people you're following, Shabazz Goy race trader. They hate us just as much as you hate us, just as much as the Jew hates us. You all hate us, don't you, Mr. Freemason? You hate your race. The blacks hate your race. The blacks have made a choice. They're out killing us day by day by day by day. They have a saying, they want to shut down the whole country, shut down whitey's businesses, and might make whitey poor like them. They're biting the hand that feeds them. They don't know what the Jew has in store for them, but I do. I know what the Jew has in store for them, but better yet, I know what Yahweh has in store for them. So Farrakhan, Mr. Farrakhan, you are not even half as smart as I thought you might be. I kind of thought you might have had some brains, but you've proven that you're an idiot because you're telling your people to go out and do these dirty deeds. And don't say you're not telling them. I saw it for myself. You have joined the Jew. You exposed the Jew. That was all show business. That was wrestling again. Wasn't it, Mr. Farrakhan? Wasn't it wrestling, professional wrestling, when you wrote the book, Secret Relationship Between the Jews and Blacks? Because the real secret relationship is the same secret the relationship is with the Shabbos Goy and the Jew. You're traitors. You're going against Yahweh, the ever-living God. You're going against the seed of Jacob because you don't even know the difference between the Jew and the white man. You don't know it's the Jew who's the enemy, Mr. Farrakhan. You can't even tell the difference between whitey and the Jew. And neither can your people. And you've chosen your side. So let me tell you, you're going to live with that. I'm not threatening you. I'm not going to do anything to you, Mr. Farrakhan. Except pray that you end up in the bowels of hell in the same way all of your people will end up. You see, because we as the white race have treated you very well, and you've returned evil for good. And when you do that, you know what the scripture says about that. You will pay dearly. You've made your choice. Your people have made the choice. I'm telling you, you're going to be so sorry you made the wrong choice. You went with the devil and his children. In one way, I feel sorry for you, but not really. Because you've shown yourself to be the beast of the field. Even animals are smarter than you and kinder than you. Ladies and gentlemen, Laura has a new show. It's the same, The Highland Perspective. It's on from 11 to 12 weekdays on EFR Radio. I have a new news show that's the midweek edition, which is on from 10 to 11 in the morning or 7 to 8 at night. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.